Chapter 9. The Butterfly. I woke up. The sun was noon bright. I heard a squad of rats or something in the direction of the closet. I turned and looked. It was the runt. She was on her knees in the closet, scraping and pulling suitcases and shoes around. The back of my skull was sore and throbbing. I touched it. I felt a crusty cap over the bump. I thought as I watched the runt's rear end, what the hell is she doing? I said, damn, bitch, can't you put a damper on that racket? I got an aching skull. I wake up. The first living thing I pin is the rusty black ass of a dizzy whore. She's digging a ditch in the closet. Now there's got to be a prettier way to start a day. She snapped her head around and said, I'm looking for the reefer. I feel low. Where did you stash it? I couldn't find it last night when I came in. I got up and went to the closet. I ran my hand into the coat pocket stash. I separated my stuff from the reefer inside the pocket. I gave her the can. I saw two lonely saw bucks on the dresser. I went back and got into bed. I said, bitch, I take an outside stash where else? I don't want to come home some night and greet a roller. Wouldn't it be a bitch if he had that can of 1 to 2 in the penitentiary in his mitt? Christ, your scratch for last night is shitty. What happened? Some joker stick you up? That reefer ain't making you lazy, is it? A double saw take for a young freak bitch is outrageous. Shit. You broke your luck for the double saw with the lover sugar blue eyes. You must have shot a blank the rest of the night. I'll murder you, bitch, if I find you freak off all night with your tricks for a double saw. She was looking at the size of the joint she had rolled. She sat on the side of the bed next to me. She rolled her sassy eyes at me. She said, Daddy, I'm your girl. If I ever stop loving you, I'm gonna quit whoring for you. If you don't croak me, I'll get another black man when we're washed up. Right now, I'm in your corner all the way. White tricks don't move me. I want to vomit when they paw and slobber over me. I baby talk them, but I hate them. Daddy, I just want their scratch. I get a thrill with them, all right. It knocks me out that here I am, a black nigger bitch, taking their scratch. A lot of them are clean-cut, high muckety-mucks in the white world. Some of them show me pictures of beautiful wives and cute children. It makes me feel greater than those white bitches living in soft luxury. Those white broads got nigger maids they laugh at. They think we ain't good for nothing but clowning and cleaning. It would give them a stroke to see their trick husbands moaning and groaning and licking between a black whore's thighs. I know I ain't got no silky hair and white skin. I'm damn sure hip those white men ain't leaving heaven to come to hell every night just for the drive. They coming because those cold-ass white broads in heaven ain't got what these black whores in hell got between their legs. Black and low as I am, I got secrets with their white men those high-class white bitches ain't hip to. Now, Daddy, we rap so little, I got earned away. I ain't nobody's fool but yours. I wanted to run down to you this morning about last night. You put me on the dummy, remember? After I turned Chuck at the Martin, I got aroused. Two white vice coppers picked me up. They rolled me around and felt over me. One of them was a mean, nasty bastard. The other, the blonde, nice one, was sorry for me. Nasty said, I know this black bitch is a sitch ringer for those 8 larceny from the person's beefs. We ought to take her down and put her on a show-up or two. What the hell, Carl? We know she's a whore. Blondie said, But Max, she ain't no hard leg. She's just a beautiful, young, sexy kid. With a mother to support. You know how tough it is for boots to get 3 squares and a roof in this town. Let's give her a break and cut her loose. Jesus, Max, this broad has got a pair of thighs on her. She's soft as kitten fur. Nasty said, Carl, you sure got a weak spot for spades. This broad says she's broke. That black ass of hers ain't enough to buy a pass from me. If she ain't too shy to show what her derby's like, maybe, I say just maybe, I might give her a break. I'm driving into this alley. Carl, you test her lid and snatch. If you ain't raving how great it is upstairs and down when you finish, I'm gonna wheel out of this alley and toss her black ass in jail. I'm gonna book her on those 8 counts of larceny. If she's lucky, she'll get a deuce. Daddy, Blondie pushed my head down to his lap. Then I got on the back seat with him. That freak bastard Max turned around and kept his flashlight on us the whole time. I made Blondie holler. I finished with Blondie. Max got back there with me. For a half hour, he called me filthy names. He punched and pinched me. I'm sore all over. Blondie begged him to stop. My ass feels like he split something back there. I had a rough time. Finally, they let me out. Max told me to never let him see me again. I was so scared I came in. That's why the scratch is short. Max will bust me if he sees me again. You're gonna have to find me another street to work. I said, you square-ass stupid bitch. You think you're a brain because you're hip that white men sneak through the stockade to lay black whores? Ain't a nigga sealed in here that don't know that. It don't make you great because those white sick fools leave that fine pussy in heaven to find your stinking black ass in hell. You chicken-hearted bitch, you got aroused. They conned you to believe they could slap a bum rap on you. You're too dumb to know I'm gonna raise you. You rammed your funky finger in your sore ass. You took a powder from the track with a lousy double saw. You let those peckerwood coppers fuck you front, rear, sideways, and across. You simple bitch. I'm gonna find you another street to work? Now you got like a license to hustle this one? You ain't got to worry about Max and that other roller. Bitch, you can work it forever just so you don't get cancer of the cat or lockjaw. Bitch, if you don't get out of my face, I'm going to the chair for slaughtering you. Get your clothes on. Get in the street and hump up some scratch. Bitch, don't you come to that door unless you call me first. I ain't going nowhere. She had been taking sucks on the reefer while she was rapping. She was high when I gave her the rundown on how she had been conned by the rollers. She leaped off the bed and went to the closet. She dressed and jerked her head around the whole time. She knew I was angry. She was maybe afraid after that slaughter crack that I might goose her in the butt with my knife. She got out fast. I had Silas bring me some food and take my shirts and things to the cleaners. I ate and snorted some girl. Later, I banged some. Except for the bump on my skull, that still ached a little, I felt all right. I remembered Satan and the demon wanting to see identification. I called Silas. He told me where to go. I could get a driver's license without a test for a saw buck under the counter. I dressed and made the trip. Sure enough, I copped. I was back home in an hour. I pulled a chair to the front window. I had my spyglass. It was still daylight. I didn't see the runt on the street. I spied into the greasy spoon across the street. The runt was sitting at the counter, talking to a big black stud in overalls. He had trick engraved all over him. I saw them leave together and come across the street toward the Martin Hotel. The scar-faced horn tutor who lived in 422 across the hall came out behind them alone. He got into a battered Ford and chugged away. It gave me an idea. After all, I could blow the runt. I picked up the phone and asked for connection to apartment 422. The pretty yellow ex-whore helloed. I was glad old Silas had given me the rundown on her. I could tailor my pitch. I said, now try to control yourself, baby. I'm the tall stud with the dreamy bedroom eyes across the hall in 420. I'm the guy with the pretty towel wrapped around his sexy hips. I got the same hips on now that you x-rayed. Remember that hump of sugar your peepers feasted on? She said, Maybe you shouldn't call me. I don't want an incident. What do you want? A lady doesn't accept phone calls from strangers. I said, $1 million and a trip to the moon with a bored, trapped, beautiful bitch, you dig? I'm no stranger. I've been popping the elastic on your panties ever since you saw me in the hall. She giggled. I could hear the thrill in her voice. The horn blower had taken her off the track, but the whore was alive and thrashing inside her. She had class. She had done more than screw on the fire escape at high school. She said, I don't drink, and besides, I don't know you. I said, you met me in your first hot dream, remember? You know, that pretty joker in your little girl dreams that always faded when you woke up wet between the legs. You waited and wished. You lucky bitch, I stepped out of your dreams. I'm alive and real across the hall from you. Get over here. I'm gonna turn you on. Don't worry about the watchdog. I saw him split out of the greasy spoon 10 minutes ago. Baby, I'm gonna have to make one of my whores bake you a cake with a saw in it. She said, you're not married to one of them? I don't want my throat cut. I don't want to break an old habit breathing. I said, yeah, I'm married. I'm married to the whore game. You're still a member of the club yourself. You just ain't paid any dues lately. Maybe if you ain't full of shit, I can put you back in good standing. Now get over here. She said, I'm raw. I have to slip something on. I'll come over for a minute. You're not a hype. I'm not hip to anything but grass. I said, no, sugar. I'm a lover and a beggar. I got black gunion, baby. You hip? I hung up. I went to the dresser mirror and powdered my face. I brushed my hair with a damp brush. My mop was black, bright, and curly. I went to the closet and slipped on a wild yellow lounging robe. I had bought it the day before Delansky busted me at the dance. I had peeped at her hold card that day in the hall. I knew she was a freak. I remembered her eyes chained to my crotch. Now I didn't have on any towel. First chance I got, I'd flash her into a boil through the split in the front of the robe. Maybe I could shoot some cocaine into that yellow virgin arm. That would open her up for sure. I might even steal her from Scarface and put her back on the track tomorrow. I thought, this fine bitch is my speed. She's not a hard-legged dog with 1,000,000 miles on her. She's no more than 19 and sexy as the rear end of a peacock. I'll play it cool and quiz her. Maybe some ass-kicker booted her off the track. Maybe that's how Scarface copped. I'll stay in the pimp role, but I'll sweeten it with a little high-class bullshit. Maybe I'll rap some of that gigolo garbage I overheard the white pimps in the joint rapping. I better call Silas. I'm not ready for trouble with Scarface. I went to the door and unlocked it. I picked up the phone and got Silas. I said, listen, Jack, this is important. I'm going to be rapping to the big butt yellow broad who lives in 422. I'm going to give you and the broad on the desk a fin apiece. You got to wire me here when Scarface shows. I'm not ready for him to wise up, got me? Silas said,
you lucky young son of a bitch. A faggot in a YMCA shower room ain't no luckier. You got salt and pepper, kid? We'll wire you. I'll stall the cage on the way up with him. Can I peep a little kid, huh?
I hung up. I felt a cool puff of draft on my ankles. I went into the living room. She had slipped into almost nothing. She was cross-legged in the chair at the window. She turned her head from the street and looked up at me. She had on a thigh-long black negligee with pink butterflies sewn on. A pair of white silk panties gleamed through the black gauze. She curved inside it like a yellow pretty girl. Her ebony hair was steepled on top of her skull like a black satin crown. I saw a frantic tick jerk at a corner of her melon-red mouth. If she turned out to have entesis, I swore I would give up whores and get hip to the sissy game. She said, "Hi." I ask myself why I'm here. I said, "Baby, don't drag the party. Don't ask yourself stupid questions. You can't escape that freak desperate spark. You know, baby, that awful sweet electricity that makes a farm boy kiss a you. The same power that yowls a hot torn cat in the alley. You hip to it? Now just relax. I'm gonna roll you up a bomber. Baby, your luck has changed. You've hit the jackpot. You found me. Oh, yeah. My name is Blood." She said, "Blood, it's nice to meet you. I'm Christine. Chris I like better. I can't stay long. I have to be careful. My old man is very jealous." I said, "Chris, you're gonna find out I'm a wild groove. You may stay a lifetime thinking it was only an hour. All we need is an understanding. All you need is a man." Over the top of Chris's head, I saw the runt flash her eyes up at the window. She was just getting into a white Trix car. Twilight was sweeping away daylight with a deep purple broom. I went to the bedroom. I loaded an outfit and tilted it spike up in my pocket. I rolled two bombers, one with reefer, the other in cigarette tobacco. I snorted a thumb tip of cocaine. I got a towel and put it next to the gap under the front door. I lit some incense. I gave Chris the bomber. I lit it and my dud. With a package like Chris, reefer might confuse me. I might wake up swindled. If she had been Garbo, I still wanted scratch before snatch. I got another chair. We sat there facing each other in the twilight. I waited for the reefer to fill her skull. The bomber in her hand was now a roach. I cocktailed it for her. Her eyes were dreamy. She said, "God damn, sweetheart, I'm high. You know, Blood, you're going to laugh when I tell you something. Guess what I was thinking when I saw you the first time in that towel?" I said, "You thought, oh my itching cat, that pretty brown bastard looks like a pimp. I wish the hell I was still whoring. I sure would like to kiss Mr. Thriller the Killer under that towel. Am I right, sweet freak?" She giggled and scooted her chair flush against my knees. She slid her back down in the leather chair. She put the heels of her pink shoes on the seat of my chair. I was sandwiched between her big yellow legs. The street lamp came on, spotlighting her. She was still giggling. I fingered the ready jolt of cocaine in my robe pocket. I took it out and hit it against the side of my chair. I saw blue veins pulsing on her inner thighs. The cocaine had me strung on an icy rack. I raised her right leg and rubbed my cheek against it. I crushed her kneecap between my teeth. She moaned. I gazed deep into her eyes. She had laughed tiny pearls of tears that clung to her long, silky lashes. Under the street lamp, her face was innocent and soft as a yellow fawn's. I felt old as Methuselah. She said, "Don't look at me like that. I know you can read minds. You give me the creeps with that look. It's like your Svengali or that crazy Russian monk I read about." I said, "Chris, you're gonna be my whore. We gotta share things." That reefer was just an appetizer. Reefer's for low-class skunk broads. Heroin is for chumps bound for the graveyard. Cocaine is for brilliant, beautiful people. Chris, banging cocaine will spin a magic web of music and bells inside your skull. Every pore in your body will feel like daddy's jugging his swiping all over you. It will torch off a racy secret fire of life inside you. It's a miracle, Chris. You get all that thrill and no habit. I know you ain't chicken shit. Are you game to try?" She said, If you won't scar me or hurt me, if it hurts, promise you'll stop. Don't give me a lot, baby. Where you gonna put it in? I took her left leg and put it in the arm of my chair. I saw a fat line high on her thigh. I eased the spike into it. She flinched. The dropper flashed red. I pressed the bulb slowly. Her eyes widened. Her white teeth bit into her bottom lip. I emptied the dropper. I pulled out the gun. She sat there stiffly. She took her leg off the chair arm. She rubbed the inside knobs of her ankles against my sides. I saw her Adam's apple spasm. I remembered how I puked the first time. I slid my chair back and raced to the bedroom to get the wastebasket. I just made it back. She dumped a load into it. I flushed the mess down the toilet and rinsed the basket out. When I got back to her, she was smiling and stroking her legs. She said, "I'm sorry I did that naughty thing, Daddy. Oh, but now I feel heavenly. Baby, I'm so glad I came over and got this feeling. Aren't those bells something? Baby, you got a lot of this. I want to do this every day. Stay like this every minute. Let's lie down. I want a formal introduction to Mr. Thriller." I said, "Bitch, when you come to me as my whore, I'll keep your skull mellow. Now you gotta be joking about Mr. Thriller. He won't have anything to do with a broke bitch that claims a square hornblower as her man. Let's go over there while he's away and get your clothes. You're not married to him, are you?" She said, "How many girls do you have? Maybe your stable is too big for comfort. I get salty standing in a long line for my loving." I said, "Whore, answer my question. What are you, a roller or something? When you are my whore, you don't worry about anything but your own ass and scratch. Now answer my question." She said, "Blood, I didn't want to answer because I am married to him. Leroy, that's my husband, saved my life, really. He's been wonderful to me. He used to be good-looking. He didn't get so insanely jealous until after his accident. We've been waiting over 2 years for a settlement. Blood, honestly, you are my kind of stud. My life is so screwed up, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. Would you believe that you're the first fellow I've talked to in over 2 years? Blood, I don't love Leroy." That cocaine had her speed rapping. I couldn't cop her tonight unless I croaked Scarface. My plans had to change. I had to unhook her from Leroy soon. She'd make bales of scratch. Maybe I could work an angle to get her and a slice of that settlement. Of course, I couldn't wait forever. If I had to, I'd cop without a slice of the settlement. I knew Leroy was going to blow her. He didn't have a chance to hold much longer with that ugly face and that jealous bit. I had to find out if she would level with me all the way. Silas had told me she was an ex-whore. I said, "Chris, give me a fast rundown of your life story. I'll have all the answers for you when you finish." She said, "If you let me sit in your lap." I nodded, and she climbed onto my lap. She hooked an arm around my neck. Her cheek was against my ear. The cocaine thudded her ticker against my breast. Out of the side of my eye, I saw the runt go into the greasy spoon. I was hoping she wouldn't use the phone just inside the door and interrupt the rundown. I felt her balloon bottom blasting heat into the throbbing cup of my lap. Too bad I worked so hard at the pimp game. Mr. Thriller was playing stiff con on me. He was just a fool at heart. The poor chump wanted to suck out in that bed with this luscious doll. Good thing he had me to stand guard over him. She said, "I remember nothing but good until I was 12. Then my mother died. My father had been a kind, good man until then. He always worked. He was a good carpenter. He changed quickly after Mama died. He took my bed down. He said he wanted me to sleep with him. He told me how lonely his bed was after all those years with Mama. Nothing happened at first. One night, a month later, I had a nightmare. A wild, ferocious animal was sucking my breast. It was terrible. I woke up. It was Papa. I screamed. He slapped me hard. His face was all twisted and hateful. He looked like a crazy stranger. I blacked out. When I came to, Papa was crying and begging me to forgive him. After a while, I would just lie there, numb, and let him use me. I hated his guts. In school, I had the crazy feeling the students could see and feel my shame and filth. By the time I got 15, I was a skeleton. By now, he had me doing everything to him. I'm glad he's dead in hell. Papa, the beast was killing me. I was so nervous, I couldn't wash dishes. I broke dozens. I wasn't eating enough to keep a bird alive. I collapsed one day coming from the grocery. I woke up in a hospital. My system was shot, and I was pregnant. I stayed in the hospital a month. I stayed at Papa's a week after I got out. I took some money while he slept and left Wichita with the clothes on my back. I came here and got a waitress job. A young pimp named Dandy Louie started picking me up when I got off. I thought he was a millionaire. He dressed me up and turned me out. He was a cruel black bastard. He liked to beat me and then screw me. He worked me in a house run by one of his whores. He kept his foot in my ass. Funny thing, I made money even when my belly was stuck way out. A lot of chicks who came there wanted a pregnant girl. I lost the baby while turning a trick. Dandy got 5 years on a white slave rap 2 months later. I got a barmaid job and met Leroy. He was playing a gig in the spot. I was a sick girl. I fell out twice while serving the bar. The doctor said I needed rest. He said I couldn't expect to live long unless I rested. Leroy nursed me back to health. He was good to me. I needed someone who cared. I married him. When I was just 4 months shy of 17, I went with Leroy on a string of one-nighters in the Midwest. The group broke up in Youngstown, Ohio. We were stranded. Leroy got a job in an industrial cleaning plant. The second week, a boiler exploded, and you've seen his face. His lawyer says we can expect a $10,000 settlement any time now. Leroy is driving Ro crazy with his jealousy. I don't mind hustling. I'd be your girl, Blood. I go for you, Blood. Are things clearer now? What should I do? I said, you've had nothing but heartache. I feel so sorry for you, baby. Now I know you've got to be my woman. I gotta protect you. I got to give you affection and understanding. Don't worry, Angel. With me, life will be as smooth as the snow at Sun Valley. You'll be so happy you'll be out of your mind half the time. With our color combination, we could make a son of a bitching baby together after we get rich. Tell me, does Leroy plan to work the roost for a while? She said, oh, I forgot to tell you. Last night was his last night. They want him for another 6 weeks, but he's going to drop the combo. It's too much headache to get them to show for work, sober and on time. He's out now with a booking agent. I think he might go with a big band on an East Coast tour. I hope he gets it. Band leaders want band members' wives to stay at home. Daddy, please figure things out fast. I want to be your girl as soon as possible. I was sucking her scented cheek. I flogged my skull for a quick plot to tear the yellow gold mine from Scarface. The phone rang. She got out of her nest. I rushed to the phone. It was the excited broad on the desk. She said, forgive me for goofing. 422 went up 2 minutes ago. I was having a hassle with the checkout. I saw him come in. It didn't register until the second that I called you. You better clean house fast. I ran into the living room. I snatched her from the chair. I pulled her to the door. I cracked it. We peeped down the hall. Scarface was 20 yards away from coming down the hall. He had a big stack of papers, maybe sheet music under his arm. He shifted the bundle to his other arm. A paper fluttered to the carpet. He stooped to get it. I saw her door ajar. I stepped aside. I slapped her on the rump. She blurred across through the doorway. Scarface was standing with his mouth open, staring toward his now locked door. He was sure he'd seen her. His face was puzzled. I shut my door easy-like. I stood with my ear against the door. A bomb of sound shocked my eardrum. Someone was punching his fist against my door. I ran into the bedroom and got my switchblade. I came back to the door. I held my open blade behind me. I opened the door. It was Scarface. He looked like Mr. Hyde, all right. His orange-brown eyes were spinning counterclockwise. I saw a bundle of papers and a careless heap in front of his door. His right mitt was deep in his coat pocket. I saw the faint outline of maybe a skinny lead pipe or a gun barrel. I gauged the moves for a heart stab to beat his mitt out of his pocket. I said, "Yeah, Jack, what is it? I'm on the phone with my bondsman. The court just raised my bond on a double murder beef. I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to buy anything." He just stood there, like a scar-faced zombie staring at me. He looked down at the carpet in front of my door. I looked down. A pink butterfly lay there, like a silent indictment. He heaved his chest and took a deep breath. It was like his last one. He stooped and picked it up. The eerie bastard took his other hand out of his pocket. Tears rolled down from his unblinking orange eyes as he stared at me. His scarred cheeks were quivering as he shredded the butterfly into pink lint on the carpet. He turned and walked away. I shut my door and got a beakload of cocaine. I took the lounging robe off. It was dripping sweat I showered. I sat in Chris's chair at the window. Her sweet odor was still rising from it. For an hour, I heard a loud sobbing whine across the hall. It was Scarface chewing out Chris. Mickey said midnight. I hadn't eaten since morning. I wasn't hungry. Cocaine was a strong con for the belly. I thought, I hope that jealous chump doesn't croak her. It would be like making a big bonfire out of $100 bills. If she wasn't his wife and I had a rod, I'd go over there and claim her. The phone rang. It was Silas. He said,
"What happened, kid? Was she a whiz in the sack? Did the Joker catch her? I've been busy. I ain't had a chance to check with you until now. I was worried about you, kid. The broad told me she was late with the wire. I stalled him in the cage."
I said, "It was very close, Silas. I'm a pimp. I didn't stick her. I'll take care of you and the broad this weekend when I pay my rent. Silas, if you get any news on the broad or Scarface, wire me fast." He said,
"Yeah, kid, you know me. I stay hip to what goes on around here. I'll keep you plugged in, kid. Good night. I'm going home."
I hung up and lay across the bed. I wondered if Max and Blondie had the run hemmed up in the alley again. I smoked a reefer. I fell asleep. The phone woke me up. It was the runt. She said,
"Daddy, it's your baby. It's after 2. Can I come home?"
I said, "Bitch, what kind of lines you got?" She said,
"I got 30 slats. I'm beat, Daddy. My tricks have been spades. You know how cheap and hard they are to turn. Can I come in?"
I said, "Come on in. Take a bath. Watch your jib, bitch. Don't irritate me. Got a lot on my mind." She'd been working more than 12 hours. She was beat all right. Within a half hour after her bath, she was snoring beside me. I was dozing when the phone rang. I switched on the light. I picked up. I said, "Hello?" Chris whispered.
Daddy, I can't talk long. Leroy's asleep. He found a butterfly that fell off my negligee. He's been raving like a crazy man. He knows I was over there. I got bad news for us. The band spot is out. He called and turned it down. He's going to keep the combo and go through Ohio. His agent had a slew of one-nighters booked for him. He's taking me with him. Daddy, I won't forget us. I'll keep in touch. Maybe he'll go out before we leave tomorrow afternoon. I may get a chance to kiss you goodbye. I love you, Blood. I'm going to dream about Mr. Thriller until I
heard the drowsy whine of Leroy's voice calling her name the instant before she hung up. I turned and looked at the runt. Her big mouth was wide open. Frothy slobber ran down her chin. Her sour hair had started to kink at the edges. She needed to go to the beauty shop downstairs. I thought, what kind of breaks am I getting? I'm sinfully good looking. I'm laying here with a lather-mouthed dog. The ugliest joker in the world is across the hall. He's in the sack with a pretty bitch whose nose is wide open for me. Something's got to be done. Maybe after I cop Chris, I'll have the brass ring in my mitt. I didn't sleep at all after Chris called. The runt woke me up at noon. She went across the street and got on lunch. At 2 p.m, she was in the street. Silas called. He told me Chris was checking out. I saw Chris and Scarface put their stuff in the car and drive away. The runt came in at 2 a.m. with only 20 slats. She was shying away from White Tricks. She was leery of Max and Blondie. I couldn't shake her out of it. She would rather turn spades for $3 or $5. She was afraid Max would catch her with a white trick. Chapter 10. The Unwritten Book. A week after Chris left, I copped another bag of cocaine from Top. It was almost gone. The runt was only making expenses. I had one lonely C-note and a double saw plus the porker silver. The weather was getting balmy. I needed fresh clothes. I was going to the bottom, fast. In the 3 weeks after Chris left, I kicked the runt's ass a half dozen times. I only left the hotel twice in almost a month. I was expecting Chris to call me and say she was on her way. Things were getting worse. It had been 2 weeks since I saw Top. I decided to call him. Maybe he could hit me to a new spot to work for Runt. My bankroll was thin. At 10 a.m., I called Top. One of his broads said he was out of town. He wouldn't be back for a week. I got a sudden thought. I asked her if she knew Sweet's phone number. She said she did, but she'd have to call and find out if Sweet wanted me to have it. She called back in 10 minutes and gave it to me. I called him. He answered. He was in a good mood. He said,
"Well, what do you know? If it ain't grinning slim. You still got that one whore, or have you grinned yourself whoreless?"
I looked over at the runt. She was still asleep. She hadn't been in the street for 3 days. Her period had run 5 days. She claimed she was too weak and sick to go out. I had given her a terrible whipping the night before. I needed advice, badly. I said,
"Sweet, my bitch is falling apart. She's playing dead. If you don't pull my coat, I'm gonna starve to death. You gotta help me, Sweet."
He said,
"Nigga, you ain't cracking a nick me for scratch, are you? I don't loan my scratch to suckers who got hoes and can't pimp on them. I ain't gonna support you and that lazy bitch."
I said, "No, Sweet, I don't want scratch. I want you to run the game through my skull. I got a tiny bit of scratch. I gotta get my coat pulled before I tap out." He said,
"You got wheels? You know how to get out here? Now remember, you get aroused out here, crack my name. Don't repeat your boner."
I said,
Yeah, I'm driving. I think I can find your pad. When should I come out there?
He said, quick as you can get here. You get here and grin in my face, I'm going to throw you over the patio wall. Say, kid, Peaches and me got a taste for some of that barbecued chicken down there in hell. Bring one with you when you come. He hung up. My ticker was pounding like Chris had walked in the door with $1 million. I shook the runt. She opened her eyes. I stood over her. I said, bitch, you better be in the street when I get back. She said,
you can't do anything but kill me. I'm ready to die. I don't care what you do to me. I'm sick.
I said, all right, bitch. Just hit me where you want your black stinking ass shipped.
I got in a Ford. I realized I hadn't put on a tie. I didn't have a lid. I looked into the rearview mirror. I sure looked scroungy. Maybe he'd be alone. Then I remembered the lobby. What the hell did it matter? I drove for about 15 minutes before I saw a clean, open barbecue joint. A black stud in a tall white cap was stabbing chickens into a turning spit in the window. I went in. I came out with two birds. Peaches might be really hungry for barbecue chicken. It made solid sense to brown nose Miss Peaches. After several wrong turns, I found Sweet's building. I parked the Ford in almost the same spot at the curb where Satan had sat me a month ago. A young white stud in a monkey suit was out in front. Crusader Sweet, doing his bit to reverse the social order. I went to the desk in the lobby. I felt like a tramp as I waited for the pass. I got on the elevator. A different broad was at the controls. The spicy scent of the chicken wiggled her nose. She wasn't as pretty as the ripe-smelling broad. She sure kept her crotch from advertising. Maybe it was just that she didn't get heavy action. I stepped from the cage. The friendly brown snake wasn't at his station to flop his mop for me. I figured it was his day off. The odds were 100 to 1 he was in the sack somewhere with a 6-foot blonde. She was probably a little like the blonde coming from up the pit on her way to the cage. It was Mimi. She flicked her green eyes across my face. They were cold as a frozen French lake. She passed me. She looked like fancy French pastry in her sable stole. I wondered how I got the stupid courage to turn down her freak-off. I walked to the doorway of the pit. The stone broad was still in her squirting squat. Sweet was sitting on the couch. Miss Peaches beside him saw me first. She bounded across the carpet. I felt her choppers graze my hand. She snatched the bag of chicken. She flung it on the alabaster-topped cocktail table in front of Sweet. Sweet looked at me. I tightened my face into a solemn grim mask. I stepped down and walked toward him. He was wearing only a pair of polka-dot shorts. In daylight, I noticed a mole on the broad in the picture over the couch. I said, hello, Mr. Jones. I hope those birds are still warm. He said,
kid, your map sure looks like that bullshit bitch you got is shooting you through hot grease. I like that look you got today. Maybe you're getting hip. The pimp game ain't for grinning jackasses. Get over here and sit on this couch while baby and me eat our barbecue. Run down you and your whore. I want to know where and how you copped her. Tell me everything you can remember about her and what's happened since you copped her. Run down your whole life as far back as you remember. It don't matter which is first.
I ran down my life for him. Then I ran down the night I met the runt until the moment I left the haven. It took maybe 45 minutes. I even described the runt in detail. Sweet and his greedy girlfriend had devoured both birds down to the bare bones. Sweet was wiping Miss Peach's whiskers with a paper napkin. She put her head in his lap. She was jammed against my thigh. Sweet leaned back on the couch. He put his bare feet on the top of the cocktail table. He said, "Sweetheart, you're black like me. I love you. You got the hate to pimp. You a lucky nigga to get your coat pulled by me. You flap your horns and remember what I'm gonna spiel to you. There are thousands of niggas in this country who think they're pimps. The pussy weak white pimps ain't worth mentioning. Don't none of them pimp by the book. They ain't even heard about it. If they was black, they'd starve stiff. They ain't more than six of them who are hip to and pimp by the book. You won't find it in the square nigger or white history books. The truth is, that book was written in the skulls of proud, slick niggers freed from slavery. They wasn't lazy. They was puking sick of picking white man's cotton and kissing his nasty ass. The slave days stuck in their skulls. They went to the cities. They got hip fast. The conning bastard white man hadn't freed the niggers. The cities was like the plantations down south. Jeff and Uncle Tom still did all the white man's hard and filthy work. Those slick nigger heroes bawled like crumb crushers. They saw the white man just on the plantation still ramming it into the finest black broads. The broads were stupid squares. They still freaked for free with the white man. They wasn't hip to the scratch in their hot black asses. Those first nigger pimps started hipping the dumb bitches to the gold mines between their legs. They hipped them to stick their mitts out for the white man's scratch. The first nigger pimps and short-shot gamblers was the only nigger big shots in the country. They wore fine threads and had blooded horses. Those pimps was black geniuses. They wrote that skull book on pimping. Even now, if it wasn't for the frantic army of white bitches, nigger pimps would starve to death. Greeny, the white man has been pig greedy for nigger broads ever since his first sniff of black pussy. Black whores con themselves the only reason he sniffs his way to them is white broads ain't got what it takes to please him. I'm hip he's got two other secret sick reasons. White women ain't hip to his secret reasons. The dumb white broads ain't even hip to why he locks all niggas inside tight stockades. He'd love it if the nigger broads wasn't locked in there. The white man is scared shitless. He don't want them humping bucks coming out there in the white world rubbing their bellies against those soft white bellies. That's the real reason for keeping all the niggas locked up. To show you how sick in the head he is, he thinks black broads are dirt beneath his feet. His balls will bust if he don't sneak through that stockade. Half savage, less than human black broads. You know, Greeny, why he's got to come to him? The silly, sick bastard is like a whore that needs and loves punishment. He's a joke with scratch in his mitt. As great as he thinks he is, he can't keep his beak and swipe out of the stink of a black ass. He wallows and stains himself. The poor freak's joy is in his suffering. The chump believes he's done something dirty to himself. He slips back into his white world. He goes on conning himself he's God, and niggas are wild, filthy animals he has to keep in the stockades. The sad thing is, he don't even know he's sick in the skull. Greeny, I'm pulling your coat from the bottom to the top. That rundown on the first nigger pimps will make you proud to be a pimp. Square-ass niggas will try to put shame inside you. Ain't one of them would suck a mule's ass to pimp. They can't, because a square ain't nothing but a pussy. He lets a square bitch pimp on him. You gotta pimp by the rules of that pimp book those noble studs wrote 100 years ago. When you look in the mirror, you gotta know that cold-hearted bastard looking at you is real.
Now that young bitch you got is gone lazy. She's stuffing on you. That bitch ain't sick. I ain't never seen a bitch under 20 that could get sick. Your whore is bullshitting. A whore's scratch ain't never longer than a pimp's cold game. You gotta have strict rules for a whore. She's gotta respect you to hump her heart out in the street. One whore ain't got but one pussy and one jib. You got to get what there is in her fast as you can. You gotta get 16 hours a day out of her. There ain't no guarantee you gonna keep any bitch for long. The name of the pimp game is cop and blow. Now this young bitch you got is shitty, all right. She knows you ain't got no other whore. I want you to go back to that hotel. Make that bitch get out of that bed and get in the street. Put your foot in her ass hard. If that don't work, take a wire coat hanger and twist it into a whip. Ain't no bitch, freak or not, can stand up to that hanger. Maybe your foot and fist can't move that young whore anymore. She's a freak to them. Believe me, Greenie, that coat hanger will blow her or straighten her out. It's better to have no whore than a piece of whore. Get some cotton and make her pack herself. The show can't stop when a whore bleeds. I'm gonna lay some pills on you. Give her a couple when you get her out of that bed. Don't give her any more reefer. And make some whores lazy. Don't worry, kid. If you do like I say and blow her, I'll give you a whore. Kid, don't hold that whore to one block. Tell that whore all the streets go. Turn her loose. It's the only way to pimp. If she blows, what are you lost? She stands up, you got a whore and some real scratch. You go back and put the coat hanger pressure on her. If it don't blow her and she stands up for a week, you ought to have half a grand in a week. Take that scratch and drive to one of the whore towns close around. Go to Western Union. Send that scratch back to yourself at your hotel. Use some broad's name as the sender. That lazy bitch you got will think she's got competition. Watch the sparks fly from her ass. She'll try to top that bitch that doesn't exist. Greenie, you listen to Sweet Jones. You'll be a hell of a pimp. Never get friendly and confide in your whores. You got 20 whores, don't forget your thoughts or secrets. A good pimp is always really alone. You gotta always be a puzzle, a mystery to them. That's how you hold a whore. Don't get sour. Tell them something new and confusing every day. You can hold them as long as you can do it. Sweet is hipping you to pimp by the book. I'm the greatest nigga pimp in the world. Now, Greenie, is your skull gonna hold everything I told you? I said, 30 years from now, I'll still remember every word. Sweet, you won't be sorry you helped me. I'm gonna pimp my black ass off. I'll make you proud of me. I'll call you later and hip you to what the run did under hanger pressure. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to give me those pills. He got up. Miss Peaches stretched her legs. She jumped down and followed him. A sharp hooked nail in one of her rear claws snagged out an inch of cloth from my pants knee. I wouldn't have cared if she had clawed me naked. I was in a thrilled daze. With Sweet Jones on ready tap to pull my coat, I was going to set a record on the fast track. Sweet came back. He gave me a tiny bottle of small white pills. He put his hands on my shoulders. He looked down at me. His sub-zero eyes warmed to my maybe zero. He said, I love you, sweetheart. You know, kid, I don't ever think I'm gonna grin in your face. I love you like a son. Anytime I grin in a sucker's face, I'm gonna cross him or croak him. Call me anytime you need a rundown. Good luck, Greenie. I walked across the pit. I stepped up the doorway. I glanced back.
Sweet had Peaches in his arms. She was purring like a new bride. Sweet was squeezing her in a lover's embrace. He was covering her laughing face with kisses. I checked Mickey when I got in the Ford. It was 4 p.m. I drove toward the runt. I tromped hard on the gas pedal. I thought, no wonder Sweet is the greatest nigger pimp in the world. He even knows the history of the black pimp. I ain't going to spare the runt's ass. I'm going to go right in with the pressure. I hope she's not in the street. Sweet promised me a whore if I blow the runt. Any whore of Sweet's is already trained to a fine edge. Maybe he'll give me Mimi. Chapter 11. To Lose a Whore. I pulled the Ford into the curb across the street from the Haven. I didn't see the runt anywhere in the street. I peeped into the Greasy Spoon. She wasn't at the counter. I looked up at our window. I crossed the street and went through the lobby. I took the stairs to the fourth floor. I made 3 stabs at the lock with the key before I made it. I stepped inside. I was excited. I chain-bolted the door. I walked to the bedroom. The runt was propped up in bed smoking a stick of gangster. Lady Day was tar brushing that mean, sweet man again. I stood by the side of the bed next to the record player. I saw the edge of a paper plate sticking out of the wastebasket. I took it out and put it on the bed. 2 navy beans were in a puddle of grease on the side of the plate. A pile of sucked, clean neck bones were heaped in the center of it. The runt had gone out to the Greasy Spoon and copped a hearty meal. She sure had a healthy appetite for a sick bitch. Her eyes were wild and big, looking up at me. She fingered gently at the hole in my pants knee. I shut the box off. I ripped the record off the turntable. I broke it in half and hurled the pieces into the wastebasket. She kept her eyes on the hole at my knee. She ignored the broken record. She played it cool. She said, "You'll have to get it rewoven, huh? Daddy, I'm feeling better. I felt good enough to go across the street for food. Maybe by tomorrow, I'll feel good enough to go in the street. Baby, I would have went out after I ate, but my legs were too weak." I said, "Bitch, I already passed the death sentence on you. It's good you had your last meal. I'm gonna send your dead ass to your daughter gay. Take off that gown and lie on your belly, bitch." I went to the closet. I took down a wire hanger. I straightened it into 1 long piece. I doubled and braided it. I wrapped a necktie around the handle end. I turned back to the bed. She was still propped in the bed. Her mouth was gaped open. She had both her hands clapped over her chest. She was like a broad in a movie. She opens the door, and there's Dr. Jekyll just going into his frightful change. I saw her tongue tremble inside her jib. Her lips made a liquid plopping sound as they mutely pounded together. She rolled across the bed, away from me. I raised my right arm up and back. I heard my shoulder socket creak. Her gown was hiked up to her waist. Her naked rear end had scrambled to the far edge of the bed. I raced around the foot of the bed. She rolled to the middle. She was on her back. Her arms held her jackknife legs against her chest. The whites of her eyes glowed like phosphorus. I brought the wire whip down. I heard it swish through the air. It struck her across the shin bones. She cried out like she was celebrating New Year's Eve. She screamed, "Owie, owie!" She jerked flat, rigid on the bed, then smalled her fists against her temples. She sucked her bottom lip up into her jib. I slashed the air again. It sounded like maybe a dum-dum bullet striking across her gut button. She moaned, "Wee, lordy, wee, lordy!" She turned over on her belly. I tore the gown from her back. She was naked. She flailed her arms like a holy roller. The whip whistled a deadly lyric. as I brought it down again and again across her back and butt. I saw the awful welts puffing the black velvet skin. I stopped and turned her over. The pillow stuck to her face. I snatched it away. There was a ripping sound. I saw feathers sticking to her tear-wet face. She had chewed a hole in the pillow. She was thrashing her legs and mumbling. Her chest heaved in great sobs. She was staring at me and shaking her skull. Her eyes had that pitiful look of Christ's on those paintings of the crucifixion. Her lips were moving. I got on the bed. I stuck my ear near. She whispered,
"I don't need any more whipping. I give, Daddy. You're the boss. I was a dumb bitch. It looks like you got a whore now. Kiss me and help me up."
I felt tears roll down my cheeks. Maybe I was crying in joy that I broke her spirit. I felt sorry for her. I wondered if I was falling in love like a sucker. I kissed her hard. I carried her into the bathroom. I placed her tenderly in the tub. I turned the water on. A steam burst from the shower nozzle overhead. She squealed. I pushed in the shower bypass on the tub faucet. The warm water started filling the tub. I dumped a bottle of rubbing alcohol into the tub. She looked up at me. I took the tiny bottle of pills out of my pocket. I shook out two into my palm. I took a glass off the face bowl. I handed her the pills. She put them in her mouth. She washed them down with the glass of water I gave her. I said, "Phyllis, why do you make your sweet daddy mean? Daddy's gonna kill his little bitch if she don't straighten up and whore like the star she is. Bitch, lie down in that water for a while. Then get in the street and get some real scratch for your man. You don't have to stay on this block. Just walk and work until you get respectable scratch to bring in. I can raise you if you take a fall. They gotta let you make a phone call. If I go out, I'll check the desk here by phone every hour or so. Bitch, get down and stall. You want your man? Get him some real scratch." I went and sat on the bed. The sheet looked like a red zebra had lain down and his stripes had faded on it. I heard her sloshing the water in the tub. She was humming the record I'd smashed. Sweet's pills sure weren't hurting her. Whores are strange people, all right. She was silent while she combed her hair and fixed her face. She put on a red knit suit. She stood in front of me. She held her hand out. I saw dark stains on her stockings at the shins. Her eyes were bright. She said, "Daddy, I don't have a dime. Give me a couple dollars, please. Don't worry. When I come in, I'll have nice scratch." I stood up. I gave her a fin. I walked to the door with her. She turned her face up. I leaned down. I sucked her bottom lip, then bit it hard. She squeezed my arm and gouged her teeth into my cheek. She went down the hall. I shut the door and went to the front window. I rubbed my cheek to see if the skin was broken. I saw her cross the street at the corner. She was walking fast. That whipping and those pills had made her well. She looked like a child. She was so tiny and sexy in her red suit. I wondered as she disappeared whether she'd come back. It was 7 p.m. I thought, I better stick here in the pad. Whipping abroad with a hanger is not a bit like a foot in the ass. Christ, I'd kill the bastard on the spot if he hit my bare ass with one. Sweet was right. She got out of that bed all right. I wonder if those slavery pimps invented the hanger whip. No, even hangers hadn't been invented then. I guess Sweet did. I'm gonna wait to run out. If she tries to slip in here and steal her clothes, I'll croak her. I wonder why Chris hasn't gotten in touch. Maybe some fast pimp has already stolen that pretty bench from Leroy. Maybe Leroy had one of his fits and croaked her. I wonder what the bitch will be like I get from Sweet if the runt blows. This is a hell of a feeling I got. I don't know if I got a whore or not. It would be a bitch if Sweet goes back on his word and leaves me whoreless on this fast track. I'm gonna get high. I better take the flight with Gangster. Cocaine will only sharpen my grief. I took a shower. I stepped out of the tub. I got a towel from the wall rack. I saw splotches of red on the one beside it. I toweled off. I rolled a giant bomber. I put a fresh case on the pillow the runt had gnawed. I propped myself against the head of the bed. I sucked the bomber down to a roach. The reefer and the sibilant mumbling of tires against the street lulled me into deep sleep. I woke up. I was still half propped against the pillows. It was broad daylight. The runt hadn't come in. I had blown holeless with that wire hanger. I lit a cigarette. It was 7 a.m. I lay there staring at the entwined lovers on the kiss statue. I thought, the runt's got a pair of tits like that broad. Jeez, she was sure a freak. Some pimp is going to have a sweet bitch when he straightens her out. I wonder if that little bitch will miss me. She damn sure can't forget me. Hell, I can't worry about the mule going blind. I'll wait until noon or so. I'll rip open that whole grab bag Sweet promised me. Maybe I was hasty to shut the door on Melody and his entesis. At this point, I can get hip to anything except work. No one could know I was freaking with a stud. Christ, I wish beautiful Chris would call. What a thrill if she'd tell me she was rushing to me. To get her tight, I'd maybe eat everything but the tacks in her shoes. I'm hungry. I'm not going to let my troubles abuse my skull and my belly. I got Silas on the phone. I ordered home fries and sausage. I got up and brushed my teeth. I skull noted to call Top when he got back in town. Maybe he could find out who booked Leroy. Maybe I'd trace Chris that way. I'd get Preston's owl head and take her from Leroy at gunpoint. I was listening to Mood Indigo and thinking about the runt. I was remembering the day I left Mama crying at the window. I couldn't wait to get around the corner to the runt. Then I was sure I had a black gold mine sitting in the Ford waiting for me. In this tough pimp game, you couldn't count your scratch until you had it in your mitt. Holding whores was like trying to cinch grip Quicksilver. I thought, poor Mama, I haven't called her anything. I'm gonna call her when things get straight.